After walking for what felt like weeks, months, the Michigan fishman finally approaches a lake in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. The only sign of life around this entire lake is a camper partially submerged in the water. The outside walls of the camper are crawling with moss. Cattails grow up along the lake. To anyone else, this would look like an abandoned piece of junk. A tragic, giant piece of litter destroying the subpar landscape. But the Fishigan, the Funkel, he knows better. He walks up to the door of the camper, wading in the water, up about the height of his knees, and he knocks. He does a secret knock. A knock that only a fellow monster would know. And the Fishigan lets himself into the camper. On the inside of the camper, it is pretty clean. The kitchen is relatively unused and is only a storage space for odd, random things like Hawaiian shirts, straw hats, souvenirs from around the world, and framed photos of a beautiful, plump woman and a little toddler with green hair. There are also other photos of this green-haired girl. High school yearbook photos, the occasional newspaper photo cut out and taped to the wall of the camper. It's sweet. Like a little museum of a family that he once had. Hey, F-Man. I found her. The Fishigan speaks to a dark shape in the back of the camper. Shrouded by shadows, slowly this dark shape waddles forward. And as the shape moves into the light that streams through one of the camper windows, we see a 3-foot-tall frog in an I Heart New York t-shirt. So, Loveland Frogman, your best friend, your absolute bestie, the Michigan Fishman has shown up at your door saying that after 30 years, he has finally found your daughter. How do you feel? It must be overwhelming, yeah. And you've tried looking for her as well? You hired a PI. Did you try reaching out to Lily's mom? Your ex-wife? Not wife, you all never married. How did you guys meet? At a music festival. Aww. So Lily's childhood, like when she was like under the age of 3, was spent like just traveling from like music festival to music festival in the early 70s. That's adorable. Bea, did you try reaching out to her mom? What'd she say? That it was none of your business? Okay, it wasn't that aggressive, okay. Oh, so it was more of a like, we can't get you involved in this, it's dangerous type of situation. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. That's still tragic though. How did that make you feel? Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that's serious. Well, hey, your buddy never gave up on you. The Michigan Fishman is standing in front of you so excited to help you get to your daughter. So, the Funkle. I'll refer to him as the Funkle for the ease of everyone else. Yeah, the Funkle. He explains to you that Lily and a few of Lily's very cool friends are inside a government containment unit in the middle of Michigan that is heavily guarded on the outside. It's extremely hard to get in or out, anything like that. But it's interesting because Lily has not aged in 30 years. Yeah, and apparently no one inside that bubble has aged in 30 years. And do you say that to him? Yeah, I think he would just respond with, "Oh yeah, it's gotta be magic for sure. Do you think we gotta get Cheryl in on this?" Listen, man, I'm not saying anything. I just think maybe your wife would be able to handle magic a bit better than us. What was that? Yeah, no, right? I did not. That went a little southern, I think. Oh, like you could do better. Okay. Anyway, what do you say back to him, Mr. Sassy Pants? I'm not saying we won't be useful, but what I am saying is that you and I don't use magic. I guess you're right. How will we know if we don't try? So you and the Funkle are going on a road trip? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go. Okay, sweet. The only safe way for a monster to be able to travel cross-country is in disguise. The Funkle goes for a much more intense disguise than the Frogman. He's covered himself absolutely head to toe in any item of clothing that will fit. A shirt, under a long sleeve shirt, under a jacket, under a sweatshirt, like the layers. And the layers are kind of put on wrong too. It's not like he knows, he doesn't wear clothes regularly. He's wearing giant boots to try to cover his feet, giant oven mitts to cover his webbed hands, and of course, a very obnoxious sun hat to try to cover his three eyes, big, sharp-toothed mouth, gills, and little fin ears. The Frogman, meanwhile, keeps his I Heart New York shirt on, but also puts on much too large pants, a Hawaiian shirt, a baseball hat, and a pair of sunglasses. The sunglasses are shaped like numbers, celebrating the 2010 New Year. They are both fashion disasters. This is not new to the Frogman, though, because he did this all the time when he was with his wife. His wife passed for a human very well, but he obviously didn't. So in order to go to all the music festivals and diners and campsites and everything that they wanted to go to together, especially when Lily was young, he had to dress up. He has not learned how to be fashionable, but he has learned how to pass as human, despite the fact that he is a 3-foot-tall Frogman. In fact, the rise of Danny DeVito's career was actually very beneficial for the Frogman's disguises. As he gets dressed now in his little fashion disaster outfit, he realizes how much he misses Cheryl and Lily. He thinks about it all the time. This is not a feeling that ever escapes him. Sometimes it gets stronger, sometimes he can keep it at bay, but he misses his wife and daughter so much all the time. When he stopped coming around as much, it was not because he wanted to. During a camping trip when Lily was just 4 years old, the family had to flee in the middle of the night, leaving their camping supplies behind, rushing their camper out of the woods as fast as possible, because someone in eastern Kentucky realized he was not a human. He looks at his daughter, who passes for human extremely well, and he looks at his wife, who passes for human extremely well, and he realizes that his very presence, his very appearance, puts the two people he loves most in the world in utter danger. If not from your common bigoted man, then from the government itself. And it was unfair to Lily to expect her to be able to pack up and flee any time anyone noticed that he had ribbited instead of talked. So he left. He bought a house for his wife, sent her regular monthly stipends of money, but, you know, she did all the legwork. She was essentially a single mom. He visited on birthdays until he didn't anymore. And he visited on Christmas until he didn't anymore. And now he sends packages in the mail, keeps a distance that he thinks is respectable. But that all changed when Lily went to summer camp in 1989, because she never came home. It took a long time for him to get in contact with Cheryl. He was all over her house, up and down her phone line, but she had moved and not told him where she was going. Not told anyone, actually. When she finally got in contact with him to tell him to go away, it destroyed him. Because he saw through everything she said. He saw through every word. As she sat on the phone, her hands shaking, her voice shaking, talking to him, he realized that she was doing exactly what he had just tried to do for the last 2 decades. She was trying to protect him from something. The same way that he had tried to protect her and Lily from something. He didn't say anything on the phone because the way she was talking made it sound like she was being monitored. She wasn't talking like how Cheryl talks. After searching for 30 years, sending packages to the same summer camp, hoping that they somehow get to Lily, he finally has a lead to follow. His best friend, the god uncle, the godfather of his daughter, his bestie, the Michigan fishman who has stood by him for years, absolute bro, legend, homie of the century, has found his daughter. And they are going to hop on a bus to Michigan and find her. Okay, Bet. So you are going to take the bus. You and the Funkle are going to take the bus from Ohio all the way to Michigan? Okay, awesome. Do you have money? I ask this with love. Okay, you do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you gather up your change from your many years of absolutely killing it at hustling people in bar pool, and you and the Funkle will head out. You guys walk through some swamplands for a while before you get to an actual town in Ohio. And when you and the Funkle get there, you guys wait for the bus. Everything's chill. Everything's normal. Bus pulls up. As you are getting on, the bus driver does not see through your disguises.
Fare, please.
And the coins that you pass him are like a little covered in frog mucus, just a little.
Ugh. Ugh. Thanks. Ugh. I gotta stop taking jobs that drive through Ohio.
And you guys walk to the back of the bus. You guys ride this bus for a very long time. How many hours is it to get from... Hold on, let me look this up. Loveland, Ohio. Not for me. I don't want to go to Loveland, Ohio. Not for my location. To fictional county of Lake Moonmirror. That is a... Okay, let's see. So that's with a car. A car is 4 hours. There's no direct trains, so let's just go ahead and just say a car. Car is about 5 hours. With tolls, by the way. About 5 hours with tolls. But you're on a bus, so you don't get the tolls. But you have a 5-hour bus ride. You and the Funkle. You guys talk about anything? Yes. You reminisce on your crazy adventures together as young, hip monsters. Dude, do you want to tell us one of those stories? Yeah, go ahead. That was so cool. Holy shit. Oh, I cannot wait to hear our listeners react to that. That's fire. That's absolutely fire. That's awesome.
Sorry about that. Just trying to speak with my dad. But no, in all seriousness, I hope you're ready for more Moon Mirror. We're back from hiatus and ready to give you emotional damage. Oh, that's not what that says. We're back on schedule to have our next episode on April 15th. Right now, we have an awesome Kickstarter up for our really cool merch. You can find the link over on Twitter, @StudioOutThere. You have until April 14th, so just before the next episode, to back the Kickstarter, and then after that, all the merch will be gone forever, maybe. While you're on Twitter, maybe give us a quick follow. Any official updates we have will go through that account first and foremost. We do have a Blue Sky account if you're already on there, over at studiooutthere.bsky.social. We also do have a YouTube over at Still Out There Studios. We're working to get it up to speed with our Spotify, but we do have a bunch of behind-the-scenes content over there. We're also on TikTok at Studio Out There, as long as TikTok is available in the U.S. We'd also like to say a huge thank you to Solar Wisp on Instagram, who helped with an additional voice bit in this episode. And with that, I believe that's all I have for today. So please enjoy the rest of the episode. There's a lot of story that even I haven't heard yet.
By the time the bus pulls up outside of Moonmere County, it is nighttime. It is dark, and it is a dreary night. The energy feels off. The stars feel dimmer. Something is wrong. Something is terrible. Something bad is happening. This is a bad night. A really bad night. You all pull up. From where the bus stop is, you see a long deserted road, and the further you look up the road, you see these dark structures sprawled across the road, barricades of some kind. You can see farther away with your special frog eyes that can see farther than human eyes. You see past the barricade and down the road by a few miles is a Denny's. The Funkle explains to you, Frogman, that the Denny's is where he sat with Lily. That you guys are in the right place because this amazing Denny's that is somehow also trapped in this government containment unit and is fully functional, this Denny's was where he got to talk to Lily. Lily is real. Lily's here. Lily's alive. Like, this is such a big deal. You're just gonna go for it? If you try to approach the barricade, you'll notice that it is guarded. It's not a passive barricade. But the barricade itself isn't guarded, like, explicitly. There's not, like, guys with guns outside. It's more along the lines of there are these big signs that say, careful toxic waste, careful, like, biohazard, do not enter, no trespassing, government property, private property, just signs along that vein. And while, again, there are no, like, armed guards, there are cameras. And if it's the government, you're especially not going to want to mess with it too hard, because you are the Loveland Frogman. They would capture you and put you with the other anomalies in a heartbeat. What do you do? You and the Funkle start heading into the woods then, because the barricade, while it extends into the woods, it's not, like, as prominent. Like, there are ways to get around it. There are blank spots. There are empty spots. You can't tell, though. Like, the one downside of going to the woods, you can't tell how many cameras there are. It's easier to hide camera than in a tree. Yeah, you guys are sneaking around, staying low to the ground, listening. Your special frog eyes that can see further than a human's eyes see that this woods is pretty deep. You can tell using your froggy senses that there is a lake nearby. And the fact it's, you know, Lake Moonmere County. But you can tell with your froggy senses. The Funkel explains that this is a very dangerous place. Not only is there a summer camp, the one Lily is supposedly at, but there is also an FBI base right across the water. This makes the whole situation very perilous. So as you all keep walking, you guys gotta stay on high alert. I'm actually gonna go ahead and have you roll sharp for me. Oh, good job. Okay, so for an 11, not only do you see the cameras, you notice that there are a lot of cameras, and you notice you probably should turn back. Not only do you notice the cameras and turn back, but the Funkel then remembers that if you go all the way around the back of the Denny's, go in this big circle, if you go to the abandoned summer camp, then you can cut right, go through the woods, and end up at the actual summer camp. And the abandoned summer camp has little to no cameras in it. It's pretty much heavily ignored. It's in within the containment space, as the entire lake is within the containment space, but it is pretty much ignored because no one really goes there. At least the Funkel believes so. So you guys trek around this containment space, trying to, you know, stay in the shadows, trudging around in your little disguises to get to the other side of, you know, the area you were dropped off in, the opposite side of the camp, to get to the abandoned camp. As you guys approach the abandoned camp, you guys notice very quickly you aren't alone. Very, very quickly. And you hear crunching and cracking of trees, of wood, of the roofs of abandoned houses. You hear footsteps. And then you hear her. Yeah. Yeah. Out of the blue, out of nowhere, a dark figure lands in front of you. And you see that it is Rosalyn, one of your old friends. She looks great, by the way. She looks amazing, actually. Oh, you found someone too? Oh, which one of your kids goes to the camp? Ah. Not kids, but cousin, I see. Oh, what good times you have with Rosalyn. You guys and the Jersey Devil wave each other goodbye as you guys try to trudge close to the summer camp. As you two continue to walk through the woods, you hear distant commotion. There seems to be a lot going on tonight. Your various monster senses from both of you are picking up a lot of sounds and smells and emotional distress. There is this fog of panic and fear that is overtaking the entire night, and it's kind of disorienting for you all that have hypersensitivity to just your environments. The Funkel and you start to shed your disguises the further you go into the woods, hoping it'll help you see better, be adjusted better, like just kind of blend in a bit more, and also be able to process everything that's happening. There is, though, something that catches your attention. It's further in the direction from the camp than the Funkle was expecting, but he hears shouts of panic and distress, and he hears cries for help. Yeah, you're going to it? Okay, you guys are heading that direction. The cries for help are male ones. And you, as you get closer, you realize they're less cries for help and more demanding that he go back and help. He's second-guessing something, and he's panicking.
We can't just leave him behind. He knew more than I did about all of this. He actually.
But if we take him out, he will not survive.
Well, then we stay back.
Well, we can't help him if we're still in here.
We can restart and try again.
Oh, you know how to do this now? You know how this works? Then go. Then go restart it if you really think you know what's up. I am going to get out so I can actually help him. As you two start to get closer, kind of see what's up. In the dark of the night, you guys see the shapes of a man and a woman. Woman's older than him. Both of them are arguing in the woods and stumbling through everything. They are soaking wet and covered in blood that is not theirs. Do you two approach? Yeah, but you're gonna have to roll weird. An 8? I'll say that you can tell they're not a threat. Your ability to, like, read them isn't the best, but you can tell that they're not a threat to you. Okay. You guys slowly step out of the woods. What the hell is that?
Oh my. Is that the Loveland Frogman?
And the fish again. Hi. You two look like you might be in need of some assistance. We're looking for someone about this tall, green hair, may or may not have visible wings.
I wasn't aware that you would be able to communicate with us so clearly.
No, I'm sorry. You're being way too calm about this. What the hell are you two? Is it trying to talk to me?
So one of you can communicate.
Well, both of us can. Both of us can if you learn how to speak frog. In fact, I think it might be a little insensitive of you to imply he cannot communicate just because he can't speak English.
I apologize. That is not my intention.
We don't have time. For all, we have to go.
We're trying to escape here.
Oh, well, that we're trying to get someone to escape here, too.
You mentioned them earlier. Green hair. I apologize, but I don't believe I've seen anyone by that description.
And we don't have time to get looking. We need to get out now. Frogman, you understand exactly how dire the situation is now. You understand that whatever is going on inside this containment bubble is not something that can be easily solved. And you realize that for one reason, Frogman. You see that this man in front of you, who is panicked, who is covered in water and blood, you can see his FBI badge on his front pocket. If he can't handle this, that means there's something much worse going on right now. You can either choose to go get Lily right now, no questions asked, or you can leave the containment area with these two people and form like a bigger long-term plan. Figure out actually what the hell happened to your daughter. What do you want to do?
I believe that we would appreciate any help we can get at this point.
And Frogman, you made your choice. So you and the fish again help this random lady and this random guy get out of the government containment area the exact same way that you guys got in. And Richard?
Yeah.
You've escaped the time loop.